a business like Netflix or Amazon Prime. Businesses where once a customer engages with them, it becomes automatic and a part of their lifestyle from then on. But how do you build that forever transaction? I'm Robbie Kelman Baxter, and I have been studying subscription and membership models for nearly 20 years. In this podcast, my guests and I share the secrets and strategies of the membership economy. Join us for Subscription Stories, True Tales from the Trenches. With over 4,600 stores and nearly 1.6 million associates in the United States alone, Walmart is the largest retailer in the world. Walmart Plus, their membership program, is redefining the contours of paid memberships. I recently had the chance to interview Vanessa Yates, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Walmart Plus, on the main stage at the Sub-Summit Conference in Dallas, Texas. And I'm delighted to be able to share a recording of our conversation with all of you on the podcast. In this episode, we'll uncover the key elements behind Walmart Plus's success and the strategies they've deployed to foster growth and deliver value. You'll also learn how Walmart Plus adapts to the evolving needs and expectations of today's consumers to boost engagement, which includes the integration of strategic partnerships into their offering. So let's get right down to it. First of all, can you ground the audience for those people who've been living under a rock for the last few years? What is Walmart Plus?
Walmart Plus, for those of you who don't know, is our membership program at Walmart. So if you think of all of the things that Walmart does well, shipping, think assortment, think price, think service, Walmart Plus is all of that and then some. So for $98 a year or $12.95 a month, we sell a subscription to all that Walmart has to offer, as well as access to services and benefits from our third-party providers. So we have things like streaming through our friends at Paramount Plus. We have travel benefits through our friends at Expedia. And recently, we also launched a pet telehealth benefit with our partners at Pawp. So all of that and then some is what we call Walmart Plus.
Yeah. So let's go back to the beginning of Walmart Plus. And can you talk a little bit about the origin story of launching it and bring us maybe up to date on some of the key moments of pivot along that journey?
Yeah, for sure. At the risk of taking us all back to COVID times, Walmart Plus did actually launch in 2020. And if you think about what it was like, even for yourselves and your own families, you might have started prioritizing things a little bit differently. You might have been prioritizing time with your family differently. You might have been traveling differently. You might have been placing orders for your groceries differently. And Walmart Plus was really born out of that idea that customers were telling us they wanted something different. They wanted something new and they wanted something that would give them both time and money savings. And so the team did a really nice job of launching with three benefits at the time and really taking an opportunity to take a look at the market and take a look at the industry and hear from our customers about what would really be valuable to them and stood up the program. And to your point on how things have evolved over time, obviously we're out of COVID, which I think everybody is relieved about. Yeah, we'll take applause for that. And then also we've been looking at what do we do to actually build value with the program over time. So I said we kind of offered three benefits at the time. We then looked at things like expansion into fuel discounts. We looked at streaming, as I mentioned. We looked at free shipping with no minimums and really took a look at how do our customers spend their wallet over a period of time and what role can Walmart uniquely play to meet those needs. I would say, obviously, with the same as most subscription businesses, we started with the goal of acquiring customers into the membership program, and that's still really important to us. But equally, we look at retention now as a measure of strength of the program and how to keep our members satisfied and realizing that undeniable value we have to offer.
So you talked about the unique strengths of Walmart that you brought into Walmart Plus. There are many different retail subscriptions, including a couple that are quite big. How do you think about Walmart's unique strategy in this marketplace and what is kind of unique to Walmart?
Yeah, and there's a couple of things, and some might be more unique than others. Others might be pretty consistent with you all in the room as well. But if you think about what we stand for at Walmart, we help people save money and live better. And both of those are in equal importance for us. And so that kind of underpins everything we do from a membership perspective, making sure we're looking for ways that provide convenience, seamless experiences, removes friction, which we heard about earlier, and really kind of spending time being members ourselves to understand what is it that we do or we don't like about our program and how we might improve those. I think over the course of the program, looking at ways to differentiate through our people has been really important to us as well. So we talk about being a people-led, tech-powered, omni-channel retailer dedicated to helping people save money and live better. And our people genuinely make a difference. So for those of you who have or not worked at Walmart before, every single one of our associate badges say our people make the difference. And we genuinely believe that. And so a couple of years ago, we actually gave our frontline associates a free Walmart Plus membership because we wanted them to engage in the program in a way that they would fall in love with and be able to speak to existing and potential members about the program, what they love about it, what they've seen changed, and why they believe in it so much. And so being able to have 4,600 stores across the country with a vast array of products is one thing. Endless aisles is another. A whole raft of services beyond that, even more so. But at the heart of all of that is our people. And our people genuinely care about our customers, and our people genuinely care about our members. And I think that that's something pretty special.
Did you get any feedback from your employees about the program that you've used to improve it?
We get feedback all the time. And actually, the idea to give our elite associates the membership was part of feedback that we received from them as well. We have over 1 million associates in the US, and so that's a lot of feedback. And one of the things I love most about Walmart is
it's a lot of feedback.
And at Walmart, it doesn't matter what role you hold or what part of the team you're on, you are accessible to all of those associates. And so I love that we get full tapped in feedback from those associates. We also get a lot of feedback from our members directly as well. And we do spend a lot of time doing focus groups and surveys to understand what we're getting right, what we're getting wrong, how we might pivot. The Pork partnership actually was a really good example of that. So we did a limited time offer last year, and it was one of our most successful limited time offers. We also knew that it would be successful because 75% of our members actually have pets. And so because we asked our members the right questions and they responded in kind by taking up the limited time offer, we knew that doing a permanent embedded benefit would be something that would really resonate.
So that's a good example of a learning maybe over time, but that feels like something where you did proactive research to say what's next. Are there examples of things that maybe surprised you in terms of feedback that you've gotten either from your associates or from your members that have resulted in kind of interesting learnings or changes?
I don't know if this would be surprising as such, but we do have Paramount Plus Essential as part of our membership program, and that's been wildly successful for us. But over the course of having that program, we did hear a lot from members saying, well, what about Showtime? How can I plus up this particular arrangement? And so the team did a really nice job of working with the Paramount folks to bring Showtime into the fold for a slightly higher fee. But that meant the members who really did want to engage in that streaming service were now able to, as opposed to relying on one version of the service that they might have before. Another benefit that we do have is what we call Walmart Plus In-Home. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we actually have associates who deliver your groceries to your home and put your groceries either in your garage or in your refrigerator or in your kitchen for you. And that, again, was born from customer feedback where it was like, how do we have ultimate convenience at our fingertips? And that's where we will do the hard work for our customers and members by bringing their groceries to them and packing them away.
Yeah, I love that because it's all about that kind of forever promise and taking it as far as you can.
Yeah.
And kind of continuing to evolve it. So that's a really great example. Something that I was really interested in personally about Walmart Plus is your brand is so associated with being democratic and being for everyone. And a lot of memberships, and I've heard a lot about this in the sessions that I've been participating in this week, really talk about exclusivity and scarcity and not for everybody. And I'm wondering, how do you think about that element of membership that almost comes with the word member and balancing that with your ethos of inclusivity?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Are you aware of the Walmart cheer or the chant that we have? We have a little internal cheer, but we spell out Walmart. And at the very end, we say, who's number one? The customer always. And we genuinely believe that and live that every single day. And I'll circle back into the membership side of it, but that's at the heart of everything that we do. So if you think about assortment, you think about everyday low price, you think about access to 4,600 stores or to several hundred and thousands of gas stations, we have access for everybody. It does not matter if you are a member or a non-member, you get the same level of service and expertise and people interaction through our entire ecosystem. And that's where we think the democracy really lies and exists. We don't differentiate on item prices for members versus non-members, but in exchange for a membership fee, we will elevate a level of service, or we will expedite shipping and services that are made available to you, or we will give you third-party benefits in exchange for that membership fee. So we believe that this is, in a sense, a product in its own right. And for $98, you get a suite of benefits that is a really great value that you can either opt into, or if you choose not to, you still have access more broadly across the board.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's not an easy thing to straddle. And I imagine when new features are being considered, there must be that question of, does that allow us to love all customers? Is it clearly defined as a differentiated feature benefit, or does it just feel like cutting the line?
Yeah, and there's two things in there. I think when we think about accessibility, we look at the broad population of America and try to understand where our sweet spot is. And for those of you who know enough about Walmart, I mean, Walmart serves all manners and demographics across the country. And I'm really proud to say that our membership does exactly the same. When we do the slice of our members and who they are and what they like and where they live and what they earn, it's reflective of the true customer base that is Walmart. But also understanding that helps us really figure out, are there other areas that need a little bit of differentiated kind of application? And one of those is in regard to folks who are on government assistance. And around about this time last year, actually, a group of us got together to really try and understand how we might provide a service to the underserved and help them get on their feet in a different way. And so we actually offer all that Walmart Plus has within its benefit proposition at half the price, so $49 a year for customers who are on government assistance. And there's obviously a verification process that goes with that. And at the end of the day, it's the entire program that's available to them. But it's another way that we're looking at accessibility more broadly and not getting caught up in the who has and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that equity. You picked up the baton at Walmart Plus about a year ago.
Yeah.
So it's already pretty well structured on its way, but also not so old. Lots of change and evolution still to come. What is your unique stamp because of this particular moment in Walmart Plus's journey, but also because of your own background? What are the things that you're really thinking about and focusing on that might be different than prior leadership or future leadership someday?
Yeah, sure. First, I want to say I'm one of 82 unique stamps that work on this program, and I'm very privileged to have really amazing, bright, intelligent people from all sorts of backgrounds, by the way, working on this program. So my job is very easy in comparison to what they do every day. But you heard a little bit earlier, most of my background is in merchandising. I've spent 17 years in merchandising. And I think coming into the membership program, what I bought from my vantage point was really a couple of different things. One of them is understanding what it means to be a good financial steward of the business. And so for those of you who have been merchants or are merchants today, you understand what it takes to run a P&L, you understand the gives and the takes that you're willing to invest in or to secure funds for, and everything's a trade-off. And so part of the conversations we had was, how do you balance this need for innovation and speed with the idea of making sure you're being sustainable long-term for your organization? And so I would couple that with innovation, so staying in front of the customer. And I think in your book, you talk about really knowing what your customer problems are and how to solve them and what your unique role is in doing that. As a merchant, you're trying to predict what's the next product that your customers are going to sell. And so bringing that into the fold of membership has also been something that I've brought with me. There are a couple of things that we do focus on more broadly from a strategy perspective. And one of those is what we call fortifying the foundation. And I kind of talked about it a little bit before. When you're first starting up, you're really focused on acquiring new members. And that's really important, right? You want to get the energy and the excitement and the enthusiasm of your program and bring people into the fold. But what brings people into your program is going to change over time. And you need to be really, really clear that your ability to have a sound foundation is there. And so for us, it's delivering and executing with excellence. For us, it's making sure we've got safe and secure systems, that we're treating data correctly, that we're working to make sure the base foundation of our program is as good as it possibly can be. The second is then to think about broadening appeal, and that's where your retention phase comes in. So really thinking through, how do I keep this interesting? It's one thing to serve and deliver and to be consistent on the base, but how do I keep you interested and willing to invest that $98 year after year after year because you see that undeniable value in the program? So a little bit of product, a little bit of financial stewardship, a little bit of execution. And I think there's a lot of parallels between merchandising and membership in that way.
Yeah, it's interesting that the merchandising piece, because it is about what's the next step for them. What are they doing? Whereas membership and subscription is very much about consistency, habit formation, rhythm. And so it's really interesting to me to think about the role of merchandising in keeping things fresh at the same time as building those steady habits, like I would imagine your gas station visits, your groceries, the things that happen on a regular cadence along with those new things.
Well, and think about too, the role of tweaking a benefit that already exists. So we have free delivery from store today. We now have express delivery. So you can get your groceries in less than 2 hours. And you're seeing increasingly people are participating in this space of speed as a commodity. And so I look at all of these as new product launches. How are we enticing and drip feeding this kind of service element into the equation that makes something that might have been consistent and delivered before even more appealing and attractive?
Yeah. It's interesting also because I think about a lot of people have been talking about surprise and delight and new stuff, new products. And some of the things are brand new, but some of the stuff you're talking about is just continual tinkering and continual improving as you realize what they really want and you get feedback, or maybe even the team knows what they want to do. But as you said, there's lots of trade-offs.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of gate the progress.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's really important to balance those two. It doesn't all have to be new, but it could be better, a little better, because that's what keeps people engaged.
Yeah. And if you think of something as simple, I'm going to pick on groceries for just a second, but I would bet most of you have placed a grocery delivery order from any number of retailers. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing more frustrating than the one thing you actually ordering being canceled off the order or the wrong item being sent. And so again, for me, it's that kind of incremental step change. If we know we have a cancellation rate of X, what are the steps we're taking to reduce those cancellations? If we know that we have a consistent nil pick on product Y, how are we working with our merchants and our operators to understand how to close that gap from an experience point of view, but also on the back end as we deliver those groceries as well? So it's really just looking at it from a true member scope and saying, well, what frustrates me or what excites me and how do I make sure that that's part of the equation?
I love that. Now, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience are very interested in how Walmart Plus thinks about partnerships. You mentioned your partnership with Paramount Plus, and I'm sure people are thinking, well, we have a great offering that could be integrated. How do you think about what's the right next feature to add and whether to build it from within or look to partnership?
Yeah, great one. We do have a lot of internally owned assets or benefits that we bring to bear. And how I think about that is, where is our core strength and where do we actually need to look outside of our own portfolio at other folks who maybe have more reliability or credibility or strength or competency in a particular area that isn't necessarily close to our wheelhouse? If I think about fuel as an example, Walmart does have owned gas stations, but to expand reach, we knew we needed to partner with folks like Exxon to go a little bit further and make sure we could tap into a lot of our customers and members more broadly. So that for me was like an expansion effort. I mentioned Pawp and Expedia. Travel and pet services aren't currently within our core remit today. So we wanted to find ways to partner with credible organizations who can kind of be complementary to what we offer. We sell luggage, we sell travel, cosmetics, and personal care. We don't sell flights and we don't sell holidays, but our partners in Expedia do. So we can overlap the two in terms of experience and say, well, let's figure out how to sell travel. And then let's also figure out how to sell travel accessories and travel goods as part of that equation. Pawp, exactly the same. We serve a lot of customers and members who have pets, from pet food to grooming to bedding and everything in between. So how do we then partner with the likes of Pawp to say, let us care for your pets and then let us treat your pets in the same way? And then we think about Paramount Plus, an incredible partner to us, and we don't have streaming capabilities within our core wheelhouse. We are a retailer at our core. And so for us, it was looking at companies who could provide fresh content and were consistently looking at the role of retention in their own efforts, and a company that could also sit really well within the Walmart brand. Again, we can talk about assets and merchandising from that particular space tied to content, but these are all kind of companies that are complementary to what Walmart has to offer every day. I'm very excited. We have our embedded benefits, which is what I've spoken most about today, but we also have these pulse moments of surprise and delight through our limited time offer center. And that's where some of the smaller benefits or kind of pulse one-offs play a really important role.
Can you give a couple of examples?
I can, yeah. We've had a Spotify partnership where we look at extended trial to give Spotify access to our members, Angie home installation, tax advice and tax consulting during tax periods. So really looking at like seasonality, but then also again, these complementary partners that pulse in interest for our members without going all in for an embedded benefit that you may not actually need nor want to pay for year round.
Yeah, and it's probably a good way to test things too.
It is. Well, and that PORP was a great example, yeah. Right? So yeah, we get to kind of test the water there and see how our members resonate with it and decide whether it sticks around for long or not.
So sticking to this question about the different features and benefits that you offer and how you incorporate new ones, I think a lot of organizations that have been around for a long time have an issue with too many features, sort of overwhelming. Maybe some of them aren't as relevant. I'm curious about how you think about the bundle of benefits that you offer overall, and specifically how you think about benefits that might drive acquisition versus benefits that drive engagement and retention and habit versus benefits that you say, you know what, maybe this is not a benefit to include into the future.
Yeah, I think that's an age-old equation actually that we're all going to deal with at some point. And what I love about the subscription industry, it is so busy and noisy at the moment, but it's actually really inspiring to see how we can all cohabitate in one particular industry. So that's been really fun. I think from a benefits perspective, the key for us is really making it easy to explain what it is to your members. I think when you get into the situation where you're having to list 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 20 or 27 or however many benefits, it becomes really hard for your members to understand what is the value they're actually realizing as part of this proposition. You also run the risk of those members saying, I'm paying an amount of money for all of these benefits I don't even use. So their value equation then changes. They might have seen value in the first 2 or 3 benefits in the first instance, but if over time you've added additional benefits that they don't see value in, they're going to question what they're actually paying for. So we think about it as a fewer, bigger, better kind of approach. We want to have credible, reliable, recognizable brands and partners that we work with. We want to be able to execute with excellence, so provide internal and owned assets that we know we can stand up time and time again. And we want to be able to explain it really cleanly and easily as well. And so kind of back to my initial thoughts on saving our customers time and money, that time equation really is around simplicity, and it really is around removing friction, and it really is making it easy for your members to realize the value of the program that you're putting forward to them. And that's where I kind of put into the conversation, if I'm doing the math for you and you can realize that math, you will see the value and you will feel the consistency and you will have this emotional connection to the brand and the promise that's being put forward. But if as a member, I'm finding it difficult to understand, then I might query, why would I join or why would I stay in a program that I'm not getting the value that I need out of it?
Yeah, you bring up some of the challenges that I think are plaguing a lot of subscription businesses. This question of, and I've seen this so many times, of organizations saying, well, we have the feature, let's just throw it in there. Doesn't cost us anything, we already can offer it, and how that can sometimes muddy the waters and confuse a member. And if that's the first benefit that they see, they might say, well, that's not even a great benefit. And they may not even have the patience to dig deeper and surface those other benefits. So you're fewer, bigger, better. I really think that's important. And then the other question of people doing the math. And that's a kind of a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, I've seen organizations say they kind of do the math. This feature is worth $14.99 and this one's worth $32. And they kind of list it out. You're paying $100 and you're getting $4,852 worth of value.
Yeah.
And most consumers, I think it makes them wary. I think it makes them suspicious.
Yeah.
Whereas if they see like there's 3 benefits and I'm using 2 of them and I can do the math myself and I know I'm saving money.
Yeah. I think truth and transparency is really important. And to the first part of your comment just now, you're resonating in my mind over and over. It's what is the problem that you're actually trying to solve for your customer? And I think that'll help orient, is this the feature you really want to put into play, or are you just testing the waters to see what might happen? I'm very proud of my team because they are great test and learners. And I loved the prior session where it's like, be open to get it wrong. Like, we're open to get it wrong. And that's the joy of being in an industry like this. We're all trying to figure out what drives our members and has them enthused about our programs. And so I think there has to be a balance of this openness to try and being okay with getting it wrong, with also making sure when we really place a bet on something, it's worth it to the customer and to the member.
So I want to wrap up with a question about advice for the audience in terms of what you've learned in your time working on Walmart Plus and your foray into kind of deep into subscription work. What advice do you have for people wherever they are on the subscription journey? There are lots of people who are launching right now, some that are in scale mode, trying to figure out how do I kind of broaden this across my audience and take what's been done with paper clips and chewing gum and use rebar and concrete. And then the ones that are trying to stay relevant as the world is changing around them. What would be your kind of three tips?
Maybe I would start with just thank you. Thank you for participating. I know it's not advice. It's just heartfelt gratitude. What we do is really difficult, and it takes real courage to really try and understand the hearts and minds of people we don't know genuinely. And so thank you for challenging the industry, and thank you for challenging us to be who we are and what we do. I mean it when I say I'm inspired by everyone in the room, whatever stage of the journey you're in. Joining a year ago, I would say immensely difficult coming in from a traditional background with processes and procedures and moving into a really innovative, fast, change direction kind of part of the business. And it's been incredible. Two things I will leave you with. There is a book by Anise Kavanagh called Contagious Culture. And my team and I have spent a lot of time thinking through what is the role of culture in our team. We're a 4-year-old team in a 60-year-old organization. That means things look a little bit different. But what looks the same across our organization is the enthusiasm, the excitement, the energy, and the infectious nature of what we do that permeates the team and the support teams around us. So really getting excited about what we do and understanding our role as leaders, but also as cheerleaders for each other, and fostering this kind of notion of complementarity. We're at our best when we allow ourselves to be the best at what we are and in our individual right. The second piece of advice I would say is be a member, not only of your own program, but of your competing programs as well, and truly experience it as a member. Not as Vanessa, who leads a membership program, or Robbie, who writes on membership programs, but truly involve yourself in those programs. Seek out the points of friction, seek out the points of delight, and really understand what it is that folks do well and not do well. I've lived in the retail world my entire life, and there's nothing better than wandering off in the store while my husband does the shopping and I'm looking at all of the things that people are bringing to bear. When you really immerse yourself as a member in your own program and those around you, you really truly understand where to go and where to focus. So those would be the two things that I would leave you with.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Sign up for some memberships. The average American is spending about $279 a month in memberships, and I'm probably double that. But it's a great way to learn and to stay humble and to keep growing. So Vanessa, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you all the best with Walmart Plus.
Thank you, Robbie. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
That was Vanessa Yates, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Walmart Plus. For more about Walmart Plus, go to plus.walmart.com. To follow Vanessa, go to www.linkedin.com/in/Vanessa-Yates. And for more about subscription stories, as well as a transcript of my conversation with Vanessa, go to robbiekelmanbaxter.com/podcast. Also, I have a favor to ask. If you like what you heard, please take a minute to go over to Apple Podcasts or Apple iTunes and leave a review. Mention Vanessa in this episode if you especially enjoyed it. Reviews are how listeners find our podcast, and we appreciate each one. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening to Subscription Stories.